This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the Connect method to calm down before confronting someone whose toxic traits trigger you. 7 steps to composure before the conversation that matters most. In short, this article covers the Connect method, a 7-step framework drawn from Say It Right Every Time, designed to help you reach a state of composure before confronting someone whose toxic traits trigger a strong emotional reaction. The Connect method 7 steps from reactive to composed. The green zone and red zone understanding, which state you are in before you speak. A decision guide for choosing when and how to apply the method. Definition: the Connect method is a 7-step emotional preparation framework for navigating conversations triggered by toxic traits. It guides you from reactive flooding to regulated composure by helping you calm, observe, name, normalize, empathize, clarify, and trust before engaging. You had every intention of handling it well. You had rehearsed your opening line. You knew what you wanted to say. Then your colleague walked in, made that same dismissive gesture they always make, and every carefully prepared word dissolved. What came out instead was sharper than you intended, and the conversation you needed never happened. You know this pattern. Most people who deal regularly with toxic traits know it intimately. The Connect method exists precisely for that moment between the trigger and the first word. I introduce it in Chapter 8 of Say It Right Every Time as a framework for emotionally charged conversations, and it may be the most practically useful tool in the entire book. Toxic traits, by their very nature, are designed to destabilize you. Chronic dismissiveness, manipulation, blame shifting, passive hostility, these behaviors do not just frustrate you. They pull you into a reactive state where your worst communication habits take over. Structure is what keeps you grounded when that happens. Without it, good intentions are not enough. Why toxic traits demand more than good intentions? There is a particular cruelty to confronting someone with entrenched toxic traits. You are not walking into a neutral disagreement. You are walking into a situation that has likely triggered you before, probably more than once. Your nervous system remembers. By the time you sit down across from this person, your body may already be preparing for conflict, tightening your thinking and narrowing your options. I spent years watching capable, caring professionals destroy necessary conversations before they started. Not because they lacked courage. Not because they had nothing important to say. But because they entered the room already flooded. And flooding collapses your ability to listen, adapt, or stay connected to your actual goal. In Chapter 8 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe this as entering the red zone state where emotion has overtaken reasoning and your responses become automatic rather than considered. The green zone is the opposite. It is a state of regulated composure where you can still feel the emotion without being ruled by it. Every technique in this article is designed to move you from red to green before the conversation begins. If you want to start a difficult conversation that actually achieves something, the work starts before you open your mouth. The Connect method. All 7 steps shown in practice. The Connect method is a 7-step framework I cover in Chapter 8 of Say It Right Every Time. Each letter names a specific action. Each action builds on the one before it. You do not skip steps. You do not reorder them. The sequence matters because it matches the actual order in which a flooded mind needs to recover. Step 1. C. Calm yourself down. Before anything else, your body needs to return to a state where rational thought is possible. Toxic traits provoke visceral reactions. Your pulse rises, your jaw tightens, your thoughts race toward what you will say next rather than what you need to understand. Number 1. Recognize the physical signal. Notice the specific sensation: chest tightness, heat in the face, clenched hands. Name it as a physical event, not a verdict. Number 2. Slow your breathing deliberately. Breathe in for 4 counts, hold for 2, out for 6. Do this at least 3 times. This is not metaphorical advice. It physiologically slows your heart rate. Number 3. Create physical distance if possible. Step away from the situation. Take a walk to the water cooler. Give yourself 5 minutes before the scheduled conversation. Even 30 seconds of separation helps. When to use it. Every single time you feel flooded, there are no exceptions. When not to use it. There is no situation where calming yourself first makes a conversation worse. Example: your manager has just publicly undercut your contribution in a meeting, a pattern of behavior you've documented 3 times already. You feel the familiar heat rise. Instead of responding immediately, you excuse yourself to the bathroom, Run cold water over your wrists, breathe slowly, and return to your desk for 5 minutes before requesting a private conversation. This is the foundation step. Nothing else in the method works if you skip this one. I have made the mistake of jumping straight to the conversation and paid for it every time. Step 2. Observe the emotion. Once you are physically calmer, you can look at what you are actually feeling. Toxic behavior often produces layered emotions. You feel angry on the surface, but underneath there may be hurt, fear of being undermined, or exhaustion from repeated exposure. Observing means looking honestly, without judgment. Number 1. Sit quietly for a moment. Do not reach for your phone. Do not rehearse the argument. Simply notice what is present. Number 2. Ask yourself what is underneath the anger. Anger is almost always a secondary emotion. What is the primary one? Betrayal? Helplessness? Contempt? Number 3. Write it down if possible. Even a single word on a piece of paper makes the emotion external, which reduces its grip on you. When to use it? When you notice you are feeling something more complex than simple frustration. When not to use it? Do not skip this step because you think you already know what you feel. Toxic traits produce predictable reactions that can mask deeper needs. Example: your colleague has taken credit for your work again. You observe that beneath the anger is a deep need to be seen and respected. That is the real issue, and it will shape how you frame your needs later in the conversation. Most people bypass observation because they are in a hurry to respond. That hurry is exactly what makes toxic people effective at destabilizing you. Slow down here. Step 3. Name the emotion. Naming the emotion is not a soft or therapeutic exercise. It is a practical technique that measurably reduces the intensity of what you are feeling. In Say It Right Every Time, I state it plainly: naming the emotion helps to tame it. It gives you a sense of control over it, and it helps the other person understand what is happening with you when the time comes to speak. Number 1. Choose precise language. Not just "I feel bad." Try "feel dismissed," "I feel manipulated," or "I feel disrespected." Precision matters. Number 2. Say it out loud to yourself or write it. Speaking a named emotion, even quietly to yourself, activates a different part of your brain than simply experiencing it. Number 3. Keep it about your state, not their character. "I feel manipulated" is useful. "Their manipulator" closes your thinking down. When to use it? Always, as part of the sequence. When not to use it? Do not name the emotion directly at the other person as an accusation. Save it for the conversation, framed as an "I" statement. Example: you name your emotion. "I feel disrespected and anxious about what this pattern means for my standing on the team." Now you have something you can work with, rather than a shapeless feeling driving your behavior. The simple act of naming stops the emotion from running on autopilot. I have seen this work in situations where people were barely holding it together. It takes 10 seconds and it changes everything. Step 4. Normalize the emotion. Shame makes confrontation harder. When people feel that their reaction to someone's toxic traits is excessive or embarrassing, they either suppress the emotion entirely or overcompensate by escalating. Normalizing means acknowledging that your reaction is a reasonable human response to unreasonable behavior. Number 1. Say to yourself, "It makes sense that I feel this way," not as an excuse for poor behavior on your part, but as a factual acknowledgement. Number 2. Remind yourself of the pattern. This is not the first time this person's toxic traits have caused this reaction in you. You are not being oversensitive. Number 3. Separate the legitimacy of the feeling from what you choose to do with it. Feeling angry is valid. Shouting is a choice. They are not the same thing. When to use it? Particularly when you feel ashamed of how strongly you've been affected by someone's toxic behavior. When not to use it? Do not use normalization as a reason to stay in the red zone. The goal is to accept the emotion and then move past it, not to camp in it. Example: you have been avoiding this conversation for 3 weeks because you felt your strong reaction was disproportionate. You normalize it. "Of course I feel this way. This person has undermined me repeatedly, and I care about doing good work. My reaction is proportionate." Now you can move forward. If you are also dealing with how this dynamic erodes team function, reading about how to de-escalate team conflict without destroying trust will give you complementary tools. People spend enormous energy judging themselves for how they feel. That judgment costs you composure you need for the actual conversation. Step 5. Empathize with the other person. This is the step that most people resist when toxic traits are involved, and I understand why. Empathy for someone who has lied to you, manipulated you, or repeatedly undermined your work feels like it rewards their behavior. It does not. Empathy here is a strategic act of preparation, not a moral endorsement. Number 1. Ask yourself what might drive this person's behavior. Not to excuse it, but to understand it. Fear, insecurity, a history of getting results through these tactics, these do not justify the behavior, but they explain it. Number 2. Remind yourself that their behavior is probably not about you specifically. Toxic traits are patterns people bring to every relationship. Number 3. Find one thing, however small, you can genuinely understand about their position. This prevents you from entering the conversation in a contemptuous state, which is the single fastest way to shut down productive dialogue. When to use it? Every time. Contempt destroys conversations faster than anger does. When not to use it? Do not let empathy slide into accepting harmful behavior. You are preparing to address it, not excuse it. Example, your colleague, who habitually takes credit for others' work, is insecure about their standing with senior leadership. You do not excuse their behavior, but you understand the fear underneath it. That understanding lets you enter the conversation without contempt, which gives it a chance of landing. When the behavior involves passive tactics, the guidance on addressing passive-aggressive behavior that erodes team dynamics works well alongside this step. I was a communication expert who could not talk to the people closest to me. I had all the tools, but skipped this step. Empathy is not weakness. It is the entry point to every conversation that actually works. Step 6. C. Clarify your needs. Before you enter the conversation, you need to know precisely what you are asking for. Toxic traits cloud this. When you're reactive, your stated goal can drift from I need this behavior to stop to I need this person to admit they were wrong or I need them to feel what they made me feel. Those are not the same goals, and two of them will not get you anywhere useful. Number 1. Write down your core need in one sentence. Make it specific and behavioral. Not I need more respect, but I need you to stop interrupting me in team meetings. Number 2. Distinguish between your need and your preferred outcome. You need the behavior to change. You cannot control whether this person acknowledges fault. Number 3. Decide what a reasonable response looks like. If the conversation goes well, what does that look like concretely? When to use it? Before every confrontation with someone whose toxic traits have affected your work or well-being. When not to use it? Do not skip this because you feel the need is obvious. Under pressure, vague needs become accusations, and accusations end conversations. Example. You clarify. I need my contributions to be credited accurately in team updates. I am not asking for an apology. I'm asking for this specific behavior to change going forward. Clear. Direct. Actionable. This is also where the scripts in how to set boundaries with demanding colleagues become genuinely useful. The conversations I have regretted most were the ones where I was not clear on what I needed before I walked in. I knew I was hurt. I had no idea what I was asking for. Step 7. T. Trust the connection. This final step asks you to trust that the relationship, or the professional bond, or even just the basic human connection between two people, can hold the weight of a direct conversation. With toxic traits, this step requires real courage. The pattern you are confronting has often eroded your confidence that honest dialogue is even possible. Number 1. Remind yourself why this conversation is worth having. Your well-being, the team's function, your professional standard, these matter. Number 2. Commit to the goal of understanding, not winning. And say it right every time. I put it plainly, in a relationship, there are no winners and losers. There are only partners. The problem is the enemy, not the person. Number 3. Hold both things at once. You can address toxic behavior and still approach the person as a human being who is capable of changing. When to use it? Every time. This is the step that determines whether you walk in as an adversary or as someone who actually wants resolution. When not to use it? If you have genuine reason to believe the conversation presents a risk to your safety or employment, seek proper support before proceeding. Example. You walk into the meeting room prepared, regulated, clear on what you need, and with enough genuine good faith to give this conversation a real chance. You open with, I need to talk about something that's been affecting my work. I want us to be able to get to a place where we're both clear on how we work together. That is the green zone in practice. This step is where preparation becomes courage. The structure carries you to the door. You have to walk through it yourself. Choosing the right approach. When the Connect method is the right tool. The Connect method is specifically a preparation framework. It prepares you to have a conversation. It is not a conversation script itself, and it is not a conflict resolution process. Knowing when it applies, and when you need something else alongside it, saves you from using the wrong tool. Situation, connect, alone, connect plus another method. You feel triggered before a planned conversation, yes, no. The conversation is spontaneous and urgent, abbreviated version, add a quick script. The toxic behavior has damaged the wider team preparation, only add a conflict resolution method. You need to confront a pattern, not a single incident, yes, pair with a boundary setting script. The conversation already went badly, no use a recovery framework. If a conversation breaks down despite good preparation, the recover method for when a team conversation goes wrong gives you a clear path back. For toxic behaviors that are fracturing team relationships at a deeper level, the DEAL method for conflicts fracturing team dynamics addresses the structural repair that needs to follow. The brief narrative principle here is this: the connect method is your pre-flight checklist. You do not use it instead of flying. You use it so that when you take off, you are in control. The mistakes that undermine the method before you even begin. I've watched people study this framework carefully and then fall into the same traps. These are not unusual mistakes. They are predictable ones. The mistake: skipping straight to step 6 because you already know what you need. Why it happens: when you're confident about your need, the emotional preparation steps feel unnecessary. What to do instead? The earlier steps are not for clarifying your need. They are for regulating your state. You can know exactly what you need and still blow the conversation because you walked in flooded. The mistake: treating empathy as forgiveness. Why it happens: with genuinely toxic behavior, empathy feels like it rewards the person causing harm. What to do instead? Hold the distinction clearly. Empathy in this context is a tool for entering the conversation without contempt. It changes your state. It does not change your position. The mistake: running through the steps in your head while still in the middle of the triggering situation. Why it happens: you want to be efficient. You want to deal with it now. What to do instead? Physical separation, even briefly, is part of step 1 for a reason. Your brain cannot regulate and confront simultaneously. Create the gap. The mistake: stopping the method after one successful conversation. Why it happens: confidence feels like mastery. When one conversation goes well, the structure starts to feel optional. What to do instead? Toxic traits do not disappear after one honest conversation. Most patterns require multiple conversations, and each one deserves the same preparation. The scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group dynamics can support you in building that repeated practice. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency over time. How to make this a reflex. A framework you can only use when you have 20 minutes to prepare is a limited tool. The goal is to practice each step often enough that you can run an abbreviated version in the time it takes to walk down a corridor. Start by practicing the full 7-step method in low-stakes situations. Use it before any emotionally charged conversation, not only the ones involving toxic traits. Notice where you tend to skip or rush. Most people shortcut step 2 or step 5. Knowing your weak point helps you give it more deliberate attention. After a few weeks, practice running a compressed version, a single deep breath for calm, a quick internal label for the emotion, a one-sentence clarity check on your need, and a brief moment of good faith toward the other person. That is 20 seconds if you know the structure well. 20 seconds is almost always available for the patterns that keep coming back. Reading about how to address team undermining behavior will give you the broader context for why preparation alone is not always sufficient. Practice also means reviewing conversations afterward. When one goes poorly, trace it back through the steps. Which one did you skip? What were you feeling when you did? That kind of honest review builds real fluency faster than any amount of theoretical reading. What to carry forward? Toxic traits do not respond well to improvisation. When someone's behavior is designed, consciously or not, to destabilize you, working in unprepared is working in at a disadvantage you created for yourself. The connect method is not a guarantee that the conversation will go well. No method is. But it guarantees that you arrive prepared, regulated, and clear. And that is the only part of the conversation you fully control. I have seen the Green Zone transform conversations that people had been avoiding for months, not because the other person suddenly became reasonable, but because the person doing the confronting was no longer reactive. They were present. They were direct. They had done the work before they walked in the room. That is what this method gives you. Use the Connect method consistently, and over time, you will find that the toxic traits that once sent you spiraling lose some of their power, not because they stop, but because you stop letting them choose your state for you. Frequently asked questions. What is the Connect method? The Connect method is a 7-step emotional preparation framework for managing your state before confronting someone whose toxic traits trigger a strong reaction. It helps you move from reactive flooding to regulated composure so the conversation can actually go somewhere productive. How do you use the Connect method before a difficult conversation? Work through each step in order to calm your body. Observe the emotion without acting on it, name it, normalize it, empathize with the other person, clarify what you need, and then trust that the connection can hold the weight of the conversation. Each step prepares you for the next. When should you use the Connect method with a toxic person? Use it whenever a person's toxic traits pull you into a reactive state before you've even opened your mouth. It is most useful when you feel flooded, angry, or contemptuous, and you know from experience that going in that state makes things worse. Can the Connect method work in a workplace setting with a toxic colleague? Yes, the method was designed for emotionally charged conversations, and toxic workplace behavior is one of the most common triggers people face. The steps are clear enough to run too quickly before a scheduled conversation or even in the few minutes between meetings. What is the difference between the green zone and the red zone when confronting toxic behavior? The red zone is a state of emotional flooding where your thinking narrows and you default to attack or withdrawal. The green zone is a state of regulated composure where you can listen, respond clearly, and stay connected to your goal. The Connect method moves you from red to green. What are the most common mistakes when confronting someone with toxic traits? The most common mistake is entering the conversation while still in the red zone. Others include naming the person rather than the behavior, skipping the empathy step because you're angry, and treating the framework as optional once you feel you have enough confidence. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.